Good evening, it's a joy to be with you again here at Innerleithen. It's nice to see some Kent faces, and it's a joy just to be with you, just to pass on a little help in the Gospel. Now, if you have your Bible, please, could you turn with me to the book of Proverbs, please, the book of Proverbs, and in chapter 28. We're going to look at sins covered or cleansed or forgiven from the Bible. I wonder if your sins are forgiven tonight, if you're on your way to heaven. Well, let's look at a few verses from the Bible, please. Proverbs, the book of the Proverbs, please. Esther, Sam's Proverbs. Verse number 13. Chapter 28, please, and verse number 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We'll read that lovely verse again. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now, into your New Testament, please, to the Roman letter, and in chapter number 4. The Roman letter, the Acts, the Romans, please, chapter number 4. The Roman letter, please, chapter number 4, and for the sake of time, we'll cut in at verse number 6. Even as David also describeth the happiness or the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed or happy are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man, to whom the Lord will not impute or reckon or count sin. Now finally, please, hover over in your New Testament to John's epistle, and in chapter number 1. John's first epistle, please, and in chapter number 1. John's first epistle, please, chapter number 1. And just the last phrase of verse number 7. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now may God add his blessing to the reading of such holy scripture this evening. Now just simply from these verses that we've read together, I want to bring to you the great message of God's wonderful salvation. This Bible is the handbook of heaven, dear friend. I want to say to you that our God is more interested in this meeting than any Christian that's in it. And I know full well there are those in this building who are interested in the Gospel and who are interested relative to eternal matters. I'd like to ask you right from the beginning tonight, do you really know God? Are you in fellowship with God? Are you in speaking terms with heaven? My dear friend, that's vital. We're not here to make you religious. We're here that you might be made right. And as sinners, we have to understand that we need to be acquitted of all guilt. We need to be constituted the very righteousness of God. Don't be afraid of that word. It just means to be right. My dear friend, as far as God is concerned, sins are forgiven or covered, as we're going to see in these verses together this evening. I just thought very simply, as we looked at Proverbs 28 and 13, we're going to see sins covered by man, no prosperity. My dear friend, we can't cover our sins as far as God is concerned. Our God is the omnipotent God. He's the omniscient God. That is, he's all-knowing. He knows everything about us. He knows if we're on the narrow road that leads to heaven, or if we're on the broad road that leads to hell and to the lake of fire. My dear friend, there is a decision to be made tonight. You have to be made aware of your great need of this wonderful salvation. So we're going to look at that verse tonight and see sins covered by man, there's no prosperity. But then I've got in Romans chapter number 4, that lovely little section, we'll just look at David, and we're going to see there, my dear friend, sins forgiven by God, eternal happiness. This isn't till you're 90, not till you're 100. My dear friend, listen, I want to say to you, this message tonight, sins forgiven by God, brings eternal happiness. Oh, says Sunday, my life's a drudgery. I don't know God. I don't read the Bible. I never pray. My dear friend, that's a sure sign that you need to have your sins covered by God. What about it, dear friend? Oh, look at this verse with me. Sins forgiven by God, eternal happiness. And then I thought in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse number 7, you'll allow me to use this lovely verse in the Gospel. My dear friend, we're going to see there, sins cleansed by blood, full fellowship. I tell you, there's not another fellowship on the planet like the fellowship of God. Tell me now, are you in fellowship with God tonight? Are your sins really forgiven? My dear friend, listen, not asking if you break bread, not asking if you say prayers. I'm asking, has there been a time when, has there been a place where your sins were really, genuinely forgiven by God? Oh, I can't do it now. And no preacher can. And nobody on this planet can. But my Savior can. And I tell you, here's the one, my friend, that can really forgive sins this evening. Let's come back to our little verse here then, in Proverbs 28 and 30. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Ah, my dear friend, sins covered by man, no forgiveness. Why want you to capture this? Sins, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You see, it's easy for you to dress up and look like a Christian. Oh, you might look like one. You might dress like one. You might even speak like one. You might even live like one. But my dear friend, this is something that's internal and external and eternal. This is a new life from God tonight. God has spoken fully and finally in his Son. And because of that, I want to say to you, whoever you might be, young or old, rich or poor, educated or illiterate, you have to understand that God loves you tonight. Oh yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Has there been a time, my dear friend, when you realized your guilt as a sinner? You see, the scriptures have concluded, Galatians 3 and 22, the scriptures have concluded that all are under sin. My dear friend, you might be a big sinner, you might be a black sinner, you might be a white sinner, doesn't matter, my friend. One sin is enough, says James, therefore we're guilty of all, one sin. But my dear friend, from Adam we're joined the polluted stream, we're away from God. And my friend, listen, I want to say to you that all of us in the room are sinners. Some are saved by God's matchless grace, and we thank God for that this evening. I wonder if your sins are forgiven. My oldest grandchild, we have 8 of them now, I've told them no more now, but their 8's a new beginning, so I haven't a chance. But the oldest one, I tell you, just as a wee boy of 4, he trusted the Saviour. Well, he's a way up this height now. I'm a midget in comparison to him. But I want to tell you, he's still saved and on his way to heaven. Just at 4, that wee boy, who I remember when we were going home from somewhere, and you know, he said, Grandpa, I want you to know, he says, I'm saved too, you know. You see, he used to come on a Friday night. They all used to come on a Friday. And you know what, out some went below the bed. And they never went home. And so they had to stay. And you know, Friday after Friday, he came to his grandmother and said, Gran, I want to get saved too, you know. I want to go to heaven. I just said, look at our verse there. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. My friend, sins covered by man, no forgiveness. You can't cover your sin. You can't be cleansed by precious blood, my dear friend, just by doing it yourself. You can't. I want you to understand, it's simple, trusting faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, my friend, oh, the futility of an empty facade. Sins covered by man. Sins covered. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. My dear friend, you can't cover your sins. That's why Christ came. That's why he went to Calvary. That's why he suffered. And he bled and he died there. The futility of an empty facade. And then says the wise man, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them. My dear friend, what about this? Have you ever done this? Well, I tell you, here's a prudent and a repentant spirit. My dear friend, have you ever done this? Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them. My dear friend, listen. This is really a prudent and a repentant spirit. You see, sins forgiven are sins forsaken. Well, I want you to understand that now. My dear friend, have you ever realized that you're guilty before God? That you as a sinner need the Savior? Well, Gareth Thomas, I tell you, that's four. I didn't think anybody could get saved before. But I understand that Mr. Leckie, dear Mr. Albert Leckie, was saved at three. I could hardly believe that, but he lived to prove it, didn't he? Are your sins forgiven? Are you ready to meet God, my dear friend? Can I appeal to you with all the love I can muster for you? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Have you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you, this is personal, are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Yes, that's you personally, not the person sitting next to you. My friend, this is you tonight. If your sins have never been forgiven, Luther says, but who shall confess them and forsake of them? Or to somebody, I'll confess them to you. Won't do you a bit of good. My friend, you have to do it to the Savior. You have to realize your guilt as a sinner and confess your sin. Tell God you're guilty and he'll forgive you. He'll forgive your sins. It's simple trusting faith. It's taking God at his word. It's believing that he is. And he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And because of that, my dear friend, you and I need to have our sins forgiven. Oh, I tell you, I wonder if your sins are forgiven tonight. Look what he says. Whosoever believeth in him. Do you really believe this message? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus died for you? Do you believe it? You're a sinner tonight? I spoke to a lady in Bucky. I've been there for 4 weeks. And this lady doesn't believe for a minute she's a sinner. She's a good lady now. She's respectable. She pays 100 new pence in the pound. She's a very good and smart lady. And I tell you, to look at her, to watch her life, I would judge that she's Christian looking. My dear friend, it's not just covering it up. I want to tell you, it's something internal. That sin within us, it's only God that can reach that need. It's only the precious blood of Christ that can cleanse you and fit you for heaven. We're going to see that just in a wee minute. And I just couldn't convince that lady. I couldn't convince that lady that she needed Christ more than she needed her next meal. My friend, you need Christ more than you need your next meal if you haven't got him. I tell you, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? That's absolutely important. My friend, listen. Look what he says in verse 1 of chapter 29. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, and shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I find that a very solemn verse. Are you playing around with your sin tonight? Are you playing fast and loose with God? Maybe last Sunday you determined to be saved. I've met people in gospel meetings for the last time, but I didn't know till the next evening. Are you playing around with your sin tonight? You never had your sins forgiven? You never really met God? Are you just the same old sixpence? Ah, my dear friend, chapter 27 and verse 24 says this, riches are not forever. You see, my friend, life isn't to be found in things. We're living in a world today when men are paying money hand and fist, I tell you, just to enjoy life for a season. They're paying, my friend, through the nose, night after night, at the boozers and the bookies and the bingo. My dear friend, they think that life is to be found in things, that happiness is to be found in things. I would have danced all night before I was saved. You would have got me in the gambling dens. You'd have got me in the boozers too. I'm ashamed to tell you that. But I want to tell you, my friend, these things never satisfied at all. These things don't bring peace. These things don't bring eternal life. Look at our verses say, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them, look at this, shall have mercy. My dear friend, here's the mercy and grace of God tonight. Shall have mercy. Sins forgiven are sins forsaken. You see, my friend, it's only by the mercy of God that I'm saved. That is, he's withheld from me that I justly deserve. I deserve eternal hell, but Jesus died for me. My friend, I've never ever deserved eternal life. Never did I deserve it in my life at all. But I want to tell you, God has bestowed upon me that wonderful salvation. I wonder if you're saved tonight. I wonder, my dear friend, if you know God. If this Bible's a living book to you. If you pray today, are you in speaking terms with the Father? This is very important. A dear man called James McKendrick, I've got one of his books, it's called Seen and Heard. A man who was used of God all over the north of Scotland particularly, aye, in other countries too. Thousands were led to Christ through him. And many ministers of the Church of Scotland that he preached to were saved through him. And Mr. McKendrick was leaving the trip one night in Ferngear near Hamilton. And he was just going down the hill, walking down the hill. And you know, it dawned on him, his feet were taking him down to hell forever. But in his mind, he knew the way to heaven. And you know what he did? He just stopped in that dusty old tarmac road. He just stopped there and he said to God that he was a guilty sinner and he wanted to go to heaven. He needed his sins forgiven. And James McKendrick, I tell you, what a man of God he became. I tell you, he was. Why? Because, my dear friend, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. My dear friend, he can be forgiven. 2007, my friend's sins can still be forgiven. I'm not really sure about tomorrow. And I'm not sure about next Sunday at 6:30 either. You see, the Christians might not be here. But then on the other hand, you might not be here. Well, I don't want to frighten anyone. But the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. My dear friend, now, not tomorrow. Could you really get it down to your soul? There's a wee girl came to the meetings in Whitburn. And you know what? God began to work before we did. He did. The very first prayer meeting on the first night of the meeting, a wee girl got saved by herself in the prayer meeting. You see, you don't even need a preacher. My dear friend, you don't need a preacher. That wee girl, Lana Hume. I want to tell you, I think she was about 9 at the time. And that wee girl just lifted her heart during the prayer meeting. And she accepted the Lord Jesus as her very own and personal Saviour all by herself. Mother and father had taught her well. The children, I tell you, the teachers in the Sunday school at Whitburn had taught her well. And that wee girl, she wanted to go to heaven because her mum and dad were on their way to heaven. Are your sins forgiven? Are you ready to meet God now? Have you ever confessed to God that you're a guilty sinner? That's Romans 10 and 9, isn't it? Thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Believe in your head? No, no. Believe in your heart. This is a heart problem. My friend, it's your heart that's as black as the ace of spades. And I want to tell you, my friend, it needs to be cleansed by blood. And we're going to see that just in a wee minute. Are your sins forgiven? Are you ready to meet him? My dear friend, what about it? Look at verse 25 of chapter 29. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso, here's our word again, whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. My friend, you want to be safe eternally? Oh, says somebody, I'm safe if I die. Without Christ, I don't want to go to hell, you know. I remember being in Takeport a few years back. And as I worked my way along the street I came to, I don't know if I've told you before, pardon me if I have. And you know, there's a wee plaque in the door, Henderson. And this wee buddy came out, she was just a wee lass, a wee lady. And I spoke to them about the Saviour. I told them about what my Saviour done for me and what he could do for her. And I explained to Mrs. Henderson God's way of salvation, told her about his love and how he went to Calvary to suffer and to bleed and to die. I said, do you know, he rose the third day. He's alive. He's at God's right hand. And he can save you today, Mrs. Henderson. She said, I don't want you to go to hell. Oh, do you know what? I've never seen anybody shaken like it. Oh, she says, don't mention hell, please. Oh, she says, don't mention hell. I don't want to go to hell. She says, I want to go to heaven. I said, Mrs. Henderson, you need to accept Christ as your Saviour. You really need to realise your guilt as a sinner and accept the Saviour. You have to do that, Mrs. Henderson. You must do that. I said, now, will you read the title? Yes, she said. I said, would you come along? I'll do my best. Well, she never came. I never got back to that lady's door at that meeting. But I was back the next year again. And you know what? I couldn't get along to that door fast enough. Oh, as I came onto her street, I knew full well where she stayed. And as I went my way along the street, I came to her door. Do you know what? My heart sunk into my boots. The wee round plaid that had been in the door was removed. And the old colour of paint was revealed. Nobody in. Ah, my heart sunk to my boots. I really wanted to know about Mrs. Henderson. I went down the stairs. This was up the stairs. And I went down the stair and I knocked the door and the lady came. And I presented the tract to her and told her all about it. I said, excuse me, dear, could you tell me, is Mrs. Henderson moved? Oh, no. She's dead. I said, what? Yes, she just died during the year there. She's gone. Now, I don't know where Mrs. Henderson is. I couldn't tell you. I do hope she's in. Look at our verse, please. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now, I don't know what Mrs. Henderson did. Maybe she got in and maybe she trusted the Saviour. I pray God that she did. I do. Oh, I pray God that she did trust Christ. I would judge, and I hope I'm not doing her a disservice, I would judge she's late 70s she was. I don't know where that lady is today. I just found if that was you now, would you be in heaven? Have you ever trusted him? Have you ever confessed him as Lord? Have you ever said, yes, I need Christ? I'm glad John made much of Christ, because without him there would be no salvation. This is the Saviour of the world. This is the man out of heaven. This is God's man. This isn't some kind of jumped up dictator. This isn't some kind of religious leader. This is the Saviour of the world. This is the man that came down through the Virgin's womb. This is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. The only one that can be your Saviour. You got the Saviour? My dear friend, what about it? Sins covered by man. No prosperity. Now just quickly, I'll not keep you now just a few minutes. Look at my verse now, look at Romans chapter 4, just for a wee minute. Ah, my friend, what about it? You see, the man who covers his sins will have them uncovered by God in judgment. Do you understand that? If you just cover yourself up and night, look like a Christian and let everybody think you're a Christian, I tell you, God will uncover that in the day to come. But look at my verse now. Look at my verse now. Ah, my friend, look at this. Sins forgiven by God, eternal happiness. Look at verse number 6. Look at the happy, righteous man. Even as David also describeth the happiness of the man unto whom God imputeth or reckoneth right without love. My friend, you can't work your way to heaven. You see, here's a man who was a murderer and an adulterer. But I want to tell you, God saved this man. My friend, he can save anybody. You see, you're not too bad to get to Christ. And I have to say to you, you're not too good to get to Christ. But then I have to say this to you as well. You could be far too late to get to Christ. God has given you another Sunday. What if he doesn't give you another one? What if God never gives you another Sunday? Can we get it down to your heart? Would you understand that? Lanachum, in the prayer meeting, before we had preached a verse, before we had read a scripture, God was already working. And I tell you, he worked during these meetings. He really did. And many came to Christ. But we learn, I'll never forget it. What a thrill, all by yourself. My dear friend, look at my verse. Here's a happy, righteous man. Here's a man that's just been made right. That's the idea of the verse. My friend, your sins can't be forgiven. You could be born again into God's family. You could leave this building today. God is your Father and heaven is your home. That's why he came. That's why he gave him his life. He gave his life that you might have the very life of God. That's why he came. You see, my friend, you could go out there tonight with the life of God, eternal life, coursing through your veins, no matter what age you might be. That's the kind of God that's saying to you tonight, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, the children can come. Oh, the old folk can come. And the middle age can come. He, everyone can come. See, the Catholics can come. Oh, the orange men can come. And the Masons can come. Even the Eastern Star can come. My friend, there's nobody excluded from this. Do you understand that? There's nobody in this room, and there's nobody tonight in Inverleithen, and there's nobody in Fife, and there's nobody in Scotland, and there's nobody in Britain outside of God's grace. God could save you tonight. Would you allow them? Look at our verses saying, even as David, no matter how wicked he was, my friend, even as David, also describeth the happiness of the man whom God reckoneth right without much. You see, you just can't work your way to heaven. The work's already been done. And you certainly can't pay your way to heaven. Why? Because the ultimate price has been paid by precious blood. Cost God everything. Cost him his son. Only one son he had. My friend, only one son God had, and he allowed him to be crucified and slain. My dear friend, only one son, that's how much God loves you tonight. I have to tell you that he hates your sin. Dear brother Jim Smith was in Abergavenny, and there was a lady saved there many, many years ago. Do you know what her name was? Bingo Will. What a name. Her husband says, take your bed to the bingo. You live there. And so she did. That's the kind of woman she was. She just left for the bingo. Well, her dear brother was having gospel meetings there, and her sister who's in that assembly, her sister Olive, what a lovely Christian lady. We were with her just a few months ago. And that lovely lady, of course, she was desperate to get her sister saved. But she would never ever come and hear the gospel. She spent her time in the bingo. What do you spend your time in? What keeps you away from Christ? What have you displaced Christ with? Things? My dear friend, if you do that, you'll never be in heaven. Well, bingo wills, you know what she says to all of righteousness? Now I'm telling you now, once. She said, I'm only coming once, and don't ever ask me again. She said, I'll never come back. I'm only going to come once. That was all she needed. She only had to come once. And I understand that Jim led that lovely lady to the Saviour. A lovely nature kind of lady. But I tell you, she was holding down with gambling. But I tell you, the gambling chains that were binding her, I don't know what's binding you, I don't know what sins you practice. Maybe you're just a young person tonight, and maybe you don't realize that you're a sinner. My friend, you are, no matter how young you might be, or how old you might be. There was a man prayed in the prayer meeting in Bucket. Do you know what age he was? 102. You used to hear them praying in the prayer meeting, crying to God for souls, 102 years of age, clear as a bell. He was crying to God for men and women and boys and girls. My friend, are you safe tonight? Are your sins really forgiven? Are you ready to meet God? Are you happy tonight in the knowledge of sins forgiven that you've been made right? Look at my next verse. Not now a happy righteous man, here's a happy forgiven man. It's the same thing in another way. Saying, happy are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Your sins forgiven? Oh, says somebody, I'm just a wee sinner. Don't care the size you are. My friend, there was a wee boy in this meeting one day came to me, wee Hugh Isaac McMillan. I think he was about 9 as well, if my memory serves me right. And wee Hugh Isaac McMillan had been taught by our Sunday school children. Indeed, he wanted to get saved that very afternoon, and they put him off till night time. And he was determined that he needed Christ, and he got him. Well, he's a wee up here now. I met him in Cowden Beef. I couldn't believe it was the same man. He's a wee up here somewhere. But he was just a wee down there, you see, when he got Christ. Where are you tonight? Have you got them? Look at our verse for a minute. Happy are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. You see, my friend, David could have his iniquities, his sins, all forgiven. Every one of them. I don't know how bad you are or how good you might be. But not 99% of them can be forgiven. Got to be 100%. Your sins forgiven. Oh, how happy. I'll never forget in that dusty old gravelly pavement in Argyle Street in Hillsborough, a nominal Protestant on the way to hell, and God reached right down and salvaged me out of the wrecks of humanity. I want to tell you, he saved me. I want to tell you, that was a long time ago. Glad to tell you, really. Way back in October 1958, that seemed 100 years away. But I want to tell you, it's as sweet today as it was then. Are your sins forgiven? My friend, look at the happy, forgiven man. Look at verse 8 quickly. Blessed, happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute or reckon or count sin. My friend, here's the happy, debt-free man. Oh, says somebody, I'm getting rid of the mortgage tonight. Oh, no, you're not. My friend, listen, this isn't things. This is life. God, my friend, listen, look at our verses say, happy is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin to you. Your sins are forgiven, cleansed, ready for heaven. My friend, it's only my Saviour that can do that. I tell you, the debt of sin, my friend, can be eradicated no matter the size of it. I tell you, that sin can be cleansed. That sin can be forgiven no matter how old, says Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You see, my friend, without shedding of blood, sins cannot be forgiven. That's why we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's why, my friend, we're presenting the Saviour of the world tonight. You've got a Saviour. You must have a Saviour. You mustn't die without a Saviour. My friend, you mustn't die without Christ. Can I get it down to your soul tonight? You see, my friend, there's no mention of works. You can't work your way to heaven. Forgiveness is a matter of the grace of God. His mercy was withholding from you that you just deserve. But I want to tell you, His grace wants to bestow upon you His wonderful love. And His great salvation. I want to tell you God loves you. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ has died for you. I want to tell you, you might go out there and say, but you'll never go out there and love. Never will you do that. Because my God and my Saviour loves you dearly. You got a Saviour? You trusted Him? I don't pillow your head tonight without a Saviour. Don't do that. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And because of that, you could be a debt-free man. Your sin, my friend, will never be reckoned to you again. Do you know what the psalmist says? Psalm 103? I think it's verse 15 and 16. My friend, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. The east and the west will never meet, we know that. That's how far away my sins are gone, every one of them. Your sins gone? Are you really ready to meet it? My dear friend, has God made a mistake? Has Jesus Christ died in vain? My friend, listen, what about it now? Sins forgiven by God. Eternal happiness. Look at my last point, I must finish now. Look at my last point just for a wee minute, please. Bear with me. Sins cleansed by blood. Full fellowship. Sins forgiven are sins forsaken. You see, when you get to Christ, you'll never be the same again. When I got to Christ, my friend, I've never been in a dance hall of the boozers. Well, that's a lie. I've been in a boozers to give out tracts. You'll allow me off with that, won't you? But I've never been there to drink at the swine troughs of the world. My friend, never. New aims, new objects, new aspiration, a new life from God. If any man be in Christ, says Paul to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if any man be in Christ, another translation says, he's a new world. That's what I came into when I got saved. Wasn't a makeshift. Wasn't a patched up Judaism. It wasn't to make me a little bit religious on a Sunday. Oh no. This is a new life from God. This is a new dimension from God. This is a new direction. This is a new destination. Do you see, where are you going to end up?
Oh, it's just something I don't know. Well, I know. I know where I'm going.
And if I was to ask every New Testament Christian in this room, they could tell you where they're going. Because they're better than you. No way. Because they just believe this message. Do you believe it? Do you believe you're a sinner? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus died for you? Well, if you do then, listen, look at this. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood provided by God, my friend, listen, gives a righteous basis to God to save you. A basis on which sins can be forgiven. That's it. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look in Christ and to pardon me. To see, my friend, on a righteous basis, God can forgive you because of such a Savior. You got a Savior like that? Are you trusting in a Savior like that? But you see, but what about this blood then? That's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's his blood that he shed at Calvary by simple trusting faith, believing what he did there, shedding that blood. My friend, your sins can be forgiven. He offered himself without spot to God to purge our conscience from dead works. He can cleanse your conscience. You wouldn't like your thought life put across that wall, would you? You wouldn't like the language you used put across that wall today, would you? Maybe you can't live with your conscience. Maybe you're glad nobody knows what you think and what you practice. I want to tell you, my God knows. My God knows everything about you. And my God knew everything about me, and for all the badness I had, thank God that he loved me. And you know what? He listened to me. Whosoever shall cry unto the name of the Lord, Romans 10 and 13. And because of the value of the precious shed blood, says Peter, for as much as ye know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's my message, man, finished. But with the precious blood of Christ, because of that sacrificial work, God demonstrated his love forever to our planet, that's fast rightly for judgment. And tonight he can be your Saviour God. Tomorrow night he might just be your judge. Shall we pray? Our gracious Holy Father, we thank thee for this little time together. O God, bless thy word to every heart. Just beg of thee tonight that someone or ones might realize they're on the verge of a precipice, they're a breath away from a lost sinner's hell forever. Give deciding grace tonight. Thwart Satan's purposes. Oh, he's ready to snatch away the good seed. May the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shining unto some darkened heart before it's too late. In the Saviour's name. Amen. I know time's well gone. Can you bear with me, please? Just a verse or two from 269, please. 269. Our meeting's over now. If you're not sure about God's salvation, if you've never really trusted the Saviour tonight, and listen, we're your servants for Jesus Christ's sake. 269. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. Look at this. Even the hymn writer's got it right. For cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. All hail atoning blood. All hail redeeming grace. All hail the gift of Christ our Lord, our strength and righteousness. You can be made right tonight where you are. Just tell him you're guilty this evening. Just remaining seated. The whole hymn, 269.